الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه وبعد. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of the universe, creator of myself and yourself, creator of everything besides himself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge that will benefit us, and we ask Him to benefit us from the knowledge that He has granted us. O Allah, we seek Your protection from knowledge that has no benefit. O Allah, we seek Your protection from eyes that will not cry for Your sake. O Allah, we seek Your protection from a stomach that will not be filled. And O Allah, we ask Your protection from a dua, from a prayer that will not be answered. My dear listeners, let us understand that this gift we have in front of us is a very great gift. Which gift are we speaking about? We are speaking about the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. He has revealed it through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is for the benefit of all mankind. This Quran was sent down in order to guide all man and jinn. We need to derive guidance from this Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do so. In this Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so much. In this Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about those before us. And He has spoken about those who were obedient before us and their obedience. He has also spoken about those who were before us who were disobedient, and their disobedience, as well as the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala served them. We need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also informed us in this Quran about that which is to come and that which is going to happen in the future. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also taught us in this Quran what is happening right now, today, in front of myself and yourself, and the manner in which we should live with one another. What is right and what is wrong is also taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the stories of the Anbiya and the Prophets, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace be upon them. He has mentioned the stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the Prophets that have gone before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we turn the pages of the Quran, we will find in every other juz, in every other chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about the prophets of Allah, His prophets that He has sent to various nations. He has discussed in detail how these nations have deviated, and what the prophets actually told their nations, and how exactly they reacted, and what punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala served them later on. From amongst these stories is a story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, He has described it in the Quran.
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ.
That we have indeed revealed to you the best of stories. What does this mean? This means that this story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, it is the best in terms of emotionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it will be very gripping. And similarly, the amount of lessons we derive from this particular story will be so great. It will apply to our day-to-day lives if only we understand. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says it is the best of stories, He means that the story is actually a story that people will be interested in from the very beginning of the story right to the very end of the story. And this is why we will notice this story, which happens to be the story of Nabiullah, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose name is Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this particular story and the ability to derive lessons from the story. We will find that this story is mentioned in one place in the Quran. whereas the stories of the other Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam are mentioned in various places, different places in the Quran. When it comes to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, it is mentioned in one place in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the story. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this story has lessons for those who have intellect. Similarly, Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, who was one of the most beautiful, if not the most handsome person or male to exist on earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us nur on our faces as well, in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. This Nabi, this Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the story starts by him when he was very young, mentioning a dream that he had seen. And he saw this dream. He was concerned. He got up in the morning. He was a little bit worried about this dream. I have seen a dream that doesn't make sense to me. So immediately he got up and he related the story to someone. Whom did he relate this dream to? Did he go out to a friend and speak to a friend and say, you know what, oh my friend, this is what I saw? No, he didn't do that. Did he go out to some other partner of his in business or in any other thing, someone who might have been a friend from a different place? No, he didn't go out to those people. He went to his father. And the Quran says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. Remember when Yusuf alayhi salam told his father, oh my father, I have seen this dream. Now what do we learn from this? What is the lesson, the first lesson that we derive from this? My dear listeners, the first lesson we derive from this is that our relationship with our children should be such that when they have a problem, when there is something that concerns them, when there is something that they are worried about, the first person that they should confide in is the father or the mother, meaning the parents of this child. So ourselves as parents, we should learn from this, that if a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have such a beautiful relationship with his own child, that when this child saw something that he was worried about, something happened to him that was not so normal according to him, the first person he went to was the father to seek for advice. Today, if our children wanted advice, who would they go to? Let us ask ourselves that question. If they happen to be going to their friends or their business partners and they want to keep it a secret from us, then maybe there is something wrong in our upbringing of these children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good upbringing of our children, and may He grant us the ability to be strong in this regard. So this is the first aspect we learn. And if we are children, we happen to have parents, let us understand, whenever we have a difficulty in our lives, the first people we should go to are our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the importance of parents in many verses of the Quran. And subhanallah, in Surah Yusuf, who would have realized that the very opening verses teaches us this? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention the reaction of this father. Remember, the father was Ya'qub alayhi salam. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said here that Ya'qub alayhi salam responded. How did he respond? You know, if our child had to come to us with a problem, how would we respond? Would we get angry? Would we get excited? And some of us, what we might do is we might ignore the problem altogether and not even respond, run away from the problem. This is not the correct behavior of a parent. Let us take a look at what Ya'qub alayhi salam said, how he responded. He actually came out to his son and he said,
Ya bunayya la taqusus ru'iyaka ala ikhwatika fayakidu laka kayda.
O my son, do not relate this dream to your brothers, for they might plan and plot against you. They might plan and plot against you. Subhanallah, the father who was a Nabi, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to some narrations, meaning the ulama have two opinions. He either knew the exact interpretation of the dream, or he knew the rough interpretation of the dream. He understood from the dream that this child would be raised above his brothers. That is one point. Or he understood the exact meaning of the dream. The ulama, there are two opinions in this regard. However, whatever the case, he did not tell that to his child. He answered the child according to the level of understanding of that child. He said, listen, my child, Do not relate this to your brothers because they may become jealous of you and they may plan and plot against you. That is all he told the child. What do we learn from this? When we have difficulties, when we have problems, or when there is a point of concern, when we are speaking to our children, we should not tell them every single point. You know, I have a problem with that man, and our child is only about 19 years old, and we are saying, you know, I have a problem with that person in business, and he stole so much money from me, and this and that. The children are too small to know this. We should understand the capacity and the level of the child and speak to them accordingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do that at all times. Now, Ya'qub alayhi salam told his son, listen, your brothers might plan against you. What does this mean? Let us ask ourselves a question. This Prophet of Allah, Ya'qub alayhi salam, who was a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we think or do you think for a split moment that he failed in the upbringing of his children? Do you think he gave his children the wrong upbringing? Na'udhu billah. May Allah protect us from such thinking. He was a Prophet of Allah and he gave his children the best upbringing possible. Now what we have to learn from this is, even if you give your children the best upbringing, remember one thing, there may be problems still within your children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have decided something else. And this is why Ya'qub alayhi salam, when he told his son that, look, your brothers might plan your downfall, he did not say your brothers are bad. Immediately after that he said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, shaitan is an outright enemy against man. So, what he did is he related this deviation not to his children but to shaitan. He might have given them a good upbringing, but shaitan can succeed in spoiling that good upbringing. This is what we learn from the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam and from his statement here. He said, oh my son, do not tell your brothers because they may plan your downfall. Another point we learn from this is sometimes brothers can plan the downfall of their own brothers or sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Remember, when it comes to dunya, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to a few other things, there are certain points where brothers can plan the downfall of their own brothers. Let us ask ourselves this question. If the children of a prophet could plan the downfall of their brothers and sisters, do we think that our children are greater than those children and they cannot do that? No, there is a possibility. We are not saying all children plan the downfall of their brothers and sisters, but there is a possibility that this can happen. Now let us go further and see what happened. What happened is the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam began to speak amongst themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the relationship between Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers has certain points of reflection in it for those who would like to question. For those who would like to ask, there are certain points which we have to learn from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability not only to learn these points, but to put them into practice as well. So Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers began to ask themselves that, look, and they began to say within themselves that, listen, this Yusuf, who happened to be the youngest brother, and his other brother, the one who was second just after Yusuf alayhi salam, meaning the one who was slightly older than Yusuf alayhi salam, known in some of the narrations as Binyamin, the brothers began to say, these two are being favored more by the father. Now, do we think for a split moment that Ya'qub alayhi salam was guilty of a crime known as favoring some of the children over the others? Definitely not. He was not guilty of the crime, but there was a weakness within the brothers. And up to today it happens in our homes. We find that some of the older brothers feel that, oh, the younger ones are being favored, and we were not favored, and we are not favored. Let me tell you something. We need to contemplate. When we were young, we were treated the same way, but as we grew older, there were others who became the youngest. So we lost that status, and now when we see them, we as adults see them as youngsters being treated the same way we were treated when we were little. We probably do not remember the days when we were treated like that. And therefore, we feel for a little while that, look, this person is being treated in a different manner, not realizing that when we were that age, when we were the youngest, we were also afforded and accorded the same treatment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all this type and these types of feelings from our minds and hearts. So this can happen in the home. Now we do know that Islamically it is incorrect to favor some children over the other. But let me tell you, if you are a brother who is the oldest or older and you have brothers or sisters who are younger than you, and the youngest will probably, you might think that this child is being favored over the others, but that will probably not be the case. When you were young, the same thing must have happened to you, but it's just that you can't remember the days that you were also in the laps of your mother and you were also being, you know, whistled at or a little noise made at you as well. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us homes that are always happy and full of harmony. Ameen. Yaqub alayhi salam's sons began to speak in this regard. And they began to question and they began to doubt their own father. SubhanAllah. And not only did it stop there, they said, we need to eradicate this youngster. We need to kill Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. La ilaha illallah. Look at this. The brothers are planning not only the downfall, but the demise of their own brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this situation. And again, the question we ask, if the children of a Nabi could plan this, what about our own children? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So they said, Uqtulu Yusufa. Kill Yusuf alayhi salam. Now one of the brothers felt, the oldest brother according to the narrations, the oldest brother felt that it was a little bit too heavy. To kill our own brother, it's a little bit hard. So he said, La taqtulu Yusufa, do not kill Yusuf, but itrahuhu, you rather throw him away. Throw him into some land that is far away, throw him into a pit and, you know, get rid of him in another way, but don't kill him. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that sometimes when there is a problem, you will have a few categories of people. There will be people who will be against you. They will plan your downfall. At the same time, there will be people who will be on the other side, who will stand up for you. There will be people who will actually take your side a little bit to a certain extent. So don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all this planned. And there will be people in the middle who might be sitting on the fence. They might claim that they are neutral. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all forms of difficulty and problems. So, what happened is Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam's downfall was planned by his own brothers. And then they hatched the plan, they went to the father and they said, you know, oh our father, this particular son, you have kept him so close to you. We need to teach him the lines. We need to take him out. We need to play with him. Send him with us tomorrow. Let us play with him just for one day. Come on. He is a youngster. And you know, it reminds me of some of the children when they come up and they say, you know, let's take your son on a Saturday night, just for one, please, just for one evening. We just need to take him out. We're going to go and have coffee, etc., etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from those cups of cappuccino or what have you. Because, subhanallah, look at what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. These brothers came to their father. They lied to him. They said, look, we want to show him the lines. We want to play with him tomorrow. And we will have fun and we will bring him back. The father said, you know what? I fear that a wolf might eat him. I fear, straight to the point, I fear that a wolf might eat him. Now, the children of a prophet could go to that prophet and lie to him. Do we think our children will not lie to us? Remember something. One day your child might come to you with a story that he has planned, with a story that he has made up, just in order to get something, to gain something, in order to achieve something that he has in mind. But he may be lying to you. Let me give you a typical example. A child has a problem in the madrasa. Maybe he is too lazy, or maybe he is playing his computer games, the little games that you get, you know, under the desk. It is common that some of the children begin to play these games. They put them on silent and mashallah, they are playing. So now when the ustad catches them and admonishes them and tells them something, they go home and say, you know what, the ustad beat me up so badly. He took a stick and he started hitting me, etc., etc. And what does the father do? He rolls up his sleeves, mashallah, tabarakallah, and he rushes straight to the madrasa with a stick and he wants to now beat the ustad, and he disgraces the ustad in front of that little child, and the child is hiding his giggles. He doesn't know how to hide that smile of his to say, you know what, today I succeeded, my father stood up for me, subhanallah. Let me tell you, if the children of a Nabi could do that to the Nabi, what about us? We are not Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Our children, it is possible that they can come to us with stories that are fake, stories that are not true. So what do we learn from this? We need to verify and authenticate before we believe any story that the child comes with. We are not saying every story the child comes with is a lie, but we are saying before you believe, before you react, try and find out first, because you might do something that will result in regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. So Yaqub alayhi salam said, I fear that a wolf might eat this child. And they said, no, no, if a wolf eats the child, we are all the brothers, we will all share the loss. And imagine, they convinced him through lies. They convinced him. And do you know what? Not only did they convince him, but they kept in mind what he said. Because when they went out the next day, they used the same excuse, the same thing that he was fearing, they used that against him. They took Yusuf alayhi salam the following day, and he was of understanding age. He knew what was happening to him. However they lied to him, whatever they told him, they must have said, look, let us play this game, whatever it is, a game maybe similar to what today we know as hide and seek or something. They took out his shirt and they told him, look, go into this well, and they put him into that well, it's a little pit, and they actually covered him up, etc., etc., and he was waiting there, and these people went, they slaughtered a little animal, and they actually put the blood of that animal on the shirt. They came back in the evening to the father with this particular shirt. And they told the father, you know what, we were racing with one another, we were playing with one another, and whilst we were doing that, a wolf came. Now look, the same excuse that the father had the previous day for not sending the child with them, they are using that same excuse now for not bringing the child back, subhanallah. So they got ideas from the father. And what happened is, they lied, they came with false blood, and the father knew that, look, this is false blood. Similarly, the father knew of the dream that Yusuf alayhi salam had. And this is why the father said, look, I know something from Allah that you don't know. And I have hope in the mercy of Allah. This was a problem. It was a difficulty. But Yaqub alayhi salam, his response was, I bear patience. I will bear patience, and I know from Allah something which you don't know. Listen, my dear listeners, whenever we have a problem, whenever we have a difficulty, whenever our children are separated from us, we need to understand, let us bear patience, make dua to Allah, cry to Allah, ask Allah. We don't need to go around and, you know, lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, He is the greatest. And one day, a day will come when inshallah our problems will be solved. A day will come when Allah will show us and open the doors inshallah. So look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had something in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned something. And subhanallah, it's Allah's plan that is actually working. If we take a look at the brothers, they came back, they lied to their father, and their father gave them a response. Now what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam? He was in the well. Was that something good or bad? From what we would understand, it is something very bad, something totally unacceptable. The brothers have left him to die in the well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had another plan for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. And there were people, a caravan that was passing, they wanted water, they actually put down their bucket. And to their amazement, there was a young boy that actually came up with that bucket when they rolled the bucket back up. This young boy, Yusuf alayhi salam, when they saw him immediately, they said, Ya Bushra, hadha ghulam. Oh goodness, this is a youngster. We have actually got a youngster here. Subhanallah. Now, what did they think of? You know, it reminds me of today, when someone finds something, lost property, something very valuable. Let's say a pile of rands or a pile of dollars, and we find them intact. The first thing we would do, may Allah protect us all from doing this, but the first thing nowadays people would probably do is look around to see, hey, did anyone see me? Let me quickly pocket it. How much is it? Or if it's a watch, what is it? Hey, this is a Rolex. Hey, this is genuine stuff, man. Let me quickly sell it. How much can I sell it for? I'll make money from this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this type of materialistic attitudes. So what these people did, exactly that. They thought, they didn't even ask him, who are you, what is your name, where are you from, etc., etc. They wanted to sell him straight away. They took him to the next market and they put him in line with all the slaves and they wanted to sell him. Subhanallah. How much money can we achieve from this? Another point we have to learn from this is, whenever there is someone who is lost, whenever there is an orphan, whenever there is a widow, whenever there is someone who is destitute, wallahi, it is prohibited to seize that opportunity to do something wrong. It is prohibited to be opportunistic, if we can use that word. And it is prohibited to actually go out and abuse these people just because of their situation. We need to understand, it is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has put it in front of us in order to test us, to see whether we pass the test or we fail the test. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to pass all our tests. So Yusuf alayhi salam was sold in the market. Now who bought him? Who bought him? Someone bought him who was a rich man. According to one of the narrations, it was actually the king of Egypt. Subhanallah, someone who was very high. Now, tell me something. When Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in the well, that was something quite evil, as we said. Now he was sold, that was something evil again. So two things in a row happened that were evil against this young innocent child. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this in plan for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Now when he was sold, there was this woman. And the woman, what happened? She began to harass this young man. She saw that he is a young boy. He is very handsome. And she began to sexually harass this young boy. He was bought to serve in the home of this particular king and to work there. But unfortunately, he was harassed. And what do we learn from this? Wallahi, it is totally prohibited to sexually harass anyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. Look here, this was the workplace of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was there to work. And he was being harassed by his own bosses, so to speak. Similarly, when we have a workplace, we must understand a few things here. It is prohibited for us to sexually misbehave in our workplaces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this ailment and disease that is rampant in society today. We need to protect ourselves from this type of behavior. If we don't, and if we don't engage in tawbah, then we will see in the next few verses how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraced this woman with her own tongue and her own confession later on. So this woman harassed Yusuf alayhi salam, and where did she get to? She got nowhere. In fact, when he refused her advances, she began to accuse the young boy. And she began to accuse him in such a manner that she threatened him with jail. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. What do we learn from this? We learn from it that at times there will be people whom accusations are leveled against. But these accusations will be false. And we are not allowed to believe these accusations, because if we do, then surely we will be from amongst those who are committing a grave crime. So whenever you hear an accusation against a person, remember something. Don't always believe what you hear. You need to authenticate before you believe, because you may be accusing people without knowledge, and you may be accusing people without genuine evidence, and you may be committing a grave sin in that regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Yusuf alayhi salam was accused, and this woman was so bitter because of his refusal to accept her advances that she went a step further. She went a step further and she threatened him with jail. At that point he made a dua to Allah. رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ Oh Allah, it is better for me to go to jail than to accept that which these women are actually calling me towards, or which I am being called towards. Subhanallah. And he continued, he says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ Ya Allah, if you are not going to turn away their advances and their plans and plots, if you are not going to assist me in this regard and turn these things away from me, Ya Allah, I am going to be from amongst those who are ignorant. I will be from amongst those who have done something of ignorance. So he made a dua, Ya Allah, protect me from zina. I don't mind being jailed in the process. Subhanallah. Let us ask ourselves a question for a moment. How strong do we think this child was? He was a youngster in his youth, in that age when he was bubbling and bursting with energies, and he is still refusing advances of the opposite sex. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us purity and chastity at all times. Look at the beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. He was so handsome, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him so much, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so much in terms of looks, that when he walked, everyone would want to look at him. And when they looked at him, they would be amazed. As we will see in the next few verses. Here, he was accused of zina, and he is making a dua. Ya Allah, these people are calling me towards it. When I have rejected it, they have accused me of zina, but still I wish to be imprisoned rather than doing what they have told me to do. Now, a point that we actually learn is that when we employ someone in our workplaces, we should always employ them on merit, not on their looks. We must employ them on merit, not on their looks, meaning sometimes people have an evil intention. They employ a woman in the workplace as a secretary only because they would like to sexually make advances on this woman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this type of attitude. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be strong. How many homes have been destroyed because of affairs that have been struck between a boss and his secretary? And the home not only of the boss but even of the secretary, these homes are broken. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be strong. And may He grant us the ability to protect ourselves. Remember something, it is purer Islamically to fire someone who is jeopardizing your marriage and to save that marriage than to go and do something haram, earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and lose your entire family in the process. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So this is also a point that we learn from Surah Yusuf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guard us at all times. Yusuf alayhi salam, then, because of all this that had happened, the people of the city, especially the women that are mentioned in the Quran, they began to talk. They began to gossip. Oh, you see, this young man, this lady here has been calling him for sexual services, but he has refused. Now they began to talk, and this woman was bitter about it. So she decided, let me fix these women. And subhanallah, up to this day, it seems to be happening. Gossip is more within the women than it is within the men. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In fact, at times we find that men have become so feminine that they have also started gossiping, and they thrive on gossip. MashaAllah, we will come to the masjid, but then we will sit outside the masjid and we will talk about this and about that and things that are not true that are going on, and we will become happy, we will go home smiling, and we are pleased with ourselves, not realizing that we have achieved absolutely nothing. So when they began to gossip, this woman became bitter and she said, let me teach them a lesson. What did she do? She got them all together, she invited them, and she gave them knives and a fruit, according to the narration. And then she asked her people to release this young man. As he was released and he walked in front of them, their eyes were glued to this young man.
مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ.
They commented, they said, this is not a boy, this is not a human being, this is actually an angel, subhanallah. Just imagine how good looking this youngster was. This is an angel, and in the process they didn't realize what they were doing. What happened? Rather than cutting the fruit, they ended up cutting their hands. La ilaha illallah. To this day we have a lesson to learn from this. If ever we get so engrossed in the opposite sex and we begin to stare at them, it can result in damaging our own bodies. Look, you are driving, and whilst you are driving you happen to see a woman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us to protect our gazes. You happen to see a woman, if you are going to look at her a little bit too long, what will happen? Bump, you've bumped the car in front of you. Bump is still light, smash, you might smash the car in front of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now, in the process, you will get hurt, you will be injured. Subhanallah, it happened. The same thing happened there at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. They were engrossed in someone of the opposite sex. And look at Allah. He didn't use a man, He used women to actually do this. So the women were staring. You know, sometimes we feel, mashallah, we've got a niqab on our faces, so now it gives us the license to stare. No, let us understand that in fact we should be even more protective of our gazes, and we should look down further. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect both male and female from this. So, if we are going to get out of hand and we are not going to control our gazes, it is possible that it will result in our own downfall. It will result in us affecting and harming our bodies. Look at the diseases that are going on around today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such diseases. But it is the uncontrolled desire of the opposite sex. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now let us continue further with the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. After this, Yusuf alayhi salam was imprisoned. When he was imprisoned, there were two youngsters who entered the jail with him. As soon as they saw him, they picked up something. They realized that this person happens to be someone with a difference. Looks like a knowledgeable person, he looks intelligent, he looks religious, etc., etc. What do we learn from this? We learn from it that ourselves in our day-to-day habits, in our mannerisms, in our characteristics, in our dressing, etc., etc., we must understand that when people see us, automatically they must know this person is religiously inclined, this person is so and so, this person is so and so. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be in that manner. Yusuf alayhi salam's companions in the jail, they recognized him. And immediately they began to ask him questions. The one said, you know what, I've seen a strange dream. The other one said, I've also seen a strange dream.
قال أحدهما إني أراني أعصر خمرا، وقال الآخر إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا تأكل الطير منه، نبئنا بتأويله، إنا نراك من المحسنين.
The first one said, I see myself squeezing wines. I see myself in my dream squeezing wines. And the other one said, I see myself with a loaf of bread or some bread on my head, and the birds are eating from that bread. Please tell us the interpretation of our dreams, for indeed we see you as a person who is a good person, and we see you as a person who is full of goodness. Subhanallah. That means they hardly knew him, but they understood that this person is someone who can help us in our problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in our problems. Now Yusuf alayhi salam, he sees that opportunity to do something. To do what? To engage in something known as da'wah and tabligh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to engage in da'wah and tabligh. He sees the opportunity, and before he answered their question, he asked them a few questions and he told them a few things. Firstly, he explained to them the gift of Allah upon himself, to say, look, this is who I am. This is who I am, Yusuf alayhi salam, and my father is so and so, etc., etc. Then he said, listen,
Ya sahibai sijni, a'arbabun mutafarriquna khayrun amillahul wahidul qahhar.
O my companions who are in the jail with me, is one Lord or one Allah better, or are so many gods better? In fact, he asked the question, he says, are so many gods better, or is one Allah better? He got straight to the point, subhanallah. This teaches us that wallahi, it is our duty whenever we have the opportunity to invite people towards the oneness of Allah, towards Islam. If we do not do that, subhanallah, those workmates of ours whom we have been working with for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, who knows, maybe on the day of Qiyamah they will catch us by our necks and say, Ya Allah, this person worked with me for so long, not one day did they tell me that you existed, Ya Allah. Not one day did they invite me towards Islam, Ya Allah. Subhanallah. At times we ourselves need to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need assistance ourselves. So many people in their workplaces, they are so shy to greet their other Muslim companions with salamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imagine, we are shy to greet our fellow Muslim companions with assalamu alaykum. How then are we going to convey the message of Islam to those who are non-Muslims? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us Muslims who are practical Muslims and who are happy to fulfill the teachings of Islam, even if it means in public. So here Yusuf alayhi salam sees the opportunity, and he told them what he had to. And he explained to them the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was right and what was wrong. Then he told them, listen, as for the interpretations of your dreams, the first one, this is what will happen to you. And the second one, this is what will happen to you. The first one, you are going to be released and you will squeeze wines and you will pour the juices for the king. And the second one, you are going to be crucified or executed or what have you, and the birds will be pecking from your head. Now, immediately after that, he said, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. The matter that you have been asking me about, or you have asked me about, has already been decided. Why did he say that? Because once a person is told, look, you are going to be executed, he might then deny the dream altogether. And he might then come out and say, you know what, I didn't ever have that dream. Because now he knows that this interpretation is quite severe and quite harsh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His divine wisdom had it that Yusuf alayhi salam would tell them, listen, this matter has already been decided. There is no ways, even if you claim you were lying about it, the matter is decided. It's not going to help you to say that I saw or didn't see the dream now. And he told the other young companion of his that, look, when you go into the palace, you must remember me. You must try to mention me. I am an innocent man and I am sitting here. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His divine wisdom had it such that because of shaitan, this companion had forgotten, and Yusuf alayhi salam stayed in jail for a long time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever leave us and forget us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always be with us and assist us in everything we do. Now, one day the king saw a dream. When the king saw a dream, he was confused, he was concerned, he was worried. because it was a strange dream. He saw a very, very strange dream, and he began to tell his people, listen, I have seen this dream. Does anyone interpret dreams? And they told him, Adghathu ahlam. This dream is just a dream. It is just something, you know, a nightmare or what have you. It doesn't really have any significance or meaning. And one day, the young man who was in jail with Yusuf alayhi salam remembered Yusuf alayhi salam. And he said, you know what, there is a youngster in the prison known as Yusuf. Let me go to him. If you allow me to go to him, I will get you the interpretation of your dream. So he went to Yusuf alayhi salam and he got the interpretation of the dream. Yusuf alayhi salam told him that, listen, you will suffer a drought. You will suffer a drought after 7 years, meaning 7 years there will be good crop, and then 7 years there will be drought, and then things will go back to normal. So he went back and he told this king that, look, this is the interpretation. The king was amazed because the interpretation, it made sense. So he asked this young man, go back and call Yusuf, bring him in. When he went to call Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam refused and rejected. Again, he seized the opportunity. To do what? To clarify his name, to clear his name. Sometimes we are accused of things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from accusation. There will come an opportunity, there will come a time when you will be able to clear your name. So do not be too depressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to protect ourselves at all times. Now what happens is Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam asked this young man, go back to the king and ask about the condition of those women who cut their hands and find out what is the story. Ask them what had happened. Now, when this young man went, then they summoned the wife of this king, and she admitted. She admitted herself. She had to say, look, I was the one who was guilty. I am the one who actually harassed this young boy. It was not him in any way. Subhanallah. Did we not say moments ago that if a person is engaged in sexual behavior, and they do not engage in tawbah, then who knows, a time might come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might disgrace that person with their own tongues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and grant us chastity and purity from the very beginning. Ameen. So Yusuf alayhi salam, when his name was cleared, he went over and they made him in charge of the granaries. They made him in charge of the granaries and he became a minister. Subhanallah. Now remember something. Yusuf alayhi salam suffered one thing after the other. He was thrown into the well, then he was sold, then he was harassed, then he was jailed, etc., etc. Then he was forgotten for many years in the jail, problem after problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had another plan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that, look, Yusuf alayhi salam needs to become a minister. The same brothers that planned his downfall need to come to him one day and beg from him something. The only way that is going to happen is if they throw him into the well. And if he is then picked up and sold, and if he then goes into the palace, and if he then goes into jail, that is the only way to success according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn from this? Sometimes we suffer difficulty after difficulty after difficulty in our lives. But Allah might have another plan for us, a plan of success. This is why we always say when the doors open, they will open so wide that mashallah, we will have everything easy after that. Alhamdulillah. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He suffered loss after loss. Today, sometimes we might be employed by someone. They might fire us after falsely accusing us, not knowing that because your salary was 2,000-3,000 rands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to get 10,000-20,000 rands. The only way you were going to get that was by opening your own business. The only way by opening your own business was by being fired first from this job you had. So you were fired, you went around complaining, oh, I've been fired, not realizing it was a gift for you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you go into your business might thrive so much that one day the same person who fired you, he might come to you to buy stock. Subhanallah. Look at what happened to the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. When Yusuf alayhi salam was placed in charge of the granaries, and these brothers, when the drought happened, meaning when the drought took place and the drought overtook them, then there was a system in place. Subhanallah. The brothers came to Yusuf alayhi salam. They didn't know him, they didn't recognize him, but they came because there was a system in place. What do we learn from this? We actually learn that we too, we need to plan a little bit We are not saying plan when you are 60 years old, you must now plan for another 30, 40, 50 years. We might die before that. But we need to plan a little bit. Look, I'm getting my salary. Let me budget. How am I going to use it? What am I going to do? What do I need? What don't I need? How much am I going to save up a little bit? Maybe I need to fulfill my hajj in a year or two. I need to start saving from now. So this thing, where do we learn it from? We also learn it from Surah Yusuf. These people planned 7 years ahead. Obviously, that is because they were informed through a dream by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is what was going to happen. For us, we are not saying plan even 7 years or whatever. We are saying have a little bit of planning in your life such that you cater for a rainy day. You have mechanisms in place that will help you the day you are in need. Obviously, we all lay our full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to play a little role. We need to play that role at all times. So now when the brothers came in, did Yusuf alayhi salam scream immediately, "Hey, you people, get out of here"? No, he didn't say that. Did he even tell them, "Look, I'm your brother"? No, he didn't say that. Why? Because the time was not correct. He recognized them, but they did not recognize him. What do we learn from this? When they threw him into the well, he was actually very young. When he was very young, when he grew up, his facial features changed. He may have grown his beard, alhamdulillah, and he grew very big, mashallah. So now the older brothers didn't recognize him, but he recognized them because they were already adults at the time. When they threw him in, they knew what they were doing. They were guilty of the crime. So we learn from this that at times when there is a problem, we don't need to deal with it immediately. Sometimes we need to wait for when the time is right to deal with that problem. We don't need to start screaming and shouting like the Quran says about the hypocrites. وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. That whenever any news comes to them, whether it is of goodness, security, or whether it is of harm, or whether it is of fear, or any type of news, they broadcast it immediately, meaning they tell the whole world, "Oh, this is what happened, and this is what happened, and that's what happened." Allah says, no, when there is a problem, you need to consult. And you need to consult. If we read those verses, we will understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Look at here, Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, he understood that, look, this is something I need to deal with. I'm not going to tell them immediately, "Hey, this is who I am and this is what." I will wait for when the time is right. So remember something. You are having a problem. When the time is right, then you can deal with it. In this particular case, imagine these brothers were responsible for separating a child from his father. Subhanallah. A child from his parents. The very family members were responsible for separating this child from his parents. Subhanallah. But Yusuf alayhi salam waited for when the time was right. He was very patient. He didn't tell them, "Look, you are the brothers. I'm not going to give you wealth." In fact, let's see what he did. He went a step further. He gave them all their merchandise. He wrote down all the data, meaning he got all the data. How many brothers are you, etc., etc., and how much do you people need, etc. He found out that they were 11 brothers. He said, "But you are only 10 here. Where is the other one?" And they said, "Oh, the father loves him too much, and he keeps him with him. So now he is there. He hasn't come." Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Listen, the next time you come, you bring him in. He's a male and he's an adult. You bring him in because that is how you will get the rations for him as well. If you don't bring him in, I'm not going to give you anything next time." So they were amazed. They were saddened to a certain extent. But Yusuf alayhi salam decided, and he told his men, "Return the merchandise back into the bags." Whatever the plan was, either the plan was that he decided, "Look, this is on the house," meaning I will pay for it because they are my own family. Subhanallah. How many of us can even give a discount to our own brothers and sisters, or to our own fathers, or our own children sometimes? We will go out and rip them off, subhanallah. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He decided, "Look, I have a problem with these people. They planned to kill me. They threw me, but still I'm going to return their merchandise. It's my family at the end of the day." Subhanallah. Today, how many of us have that understanding that this is my family member? They might have done wrong to me. They might have even planned my downfall. I don't think they would have really planned to kill us. But they might have planned my downfall. We can still go out and not only forgive them, but do good to them on top, over and above that. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the power and the ability to do this. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had another plan. He let the merchandise go back. So when the merchandise went back, these people returned to their father with the wealth, meaning with the merchandise. And they told their father, "Oh, our father, here is the things we have brought back. But this person who is in charge there, this minister, has told us, don't come back unless you bring back this brother of yours. So the father says, oh, do you want me to send him the same way I sent his brother in the past? I am not going to send him. Now when they opened their wealth, when they opened the merchandise, they found, hey, this wealth is also inside with. So they told their father, look, what more do we want? We can actually take this back, and we can actually take the brother, and we can get more rations. So they convinced the father, and the father then said, listen, I will not send the child until you swear an oath, until you swear an oath that you are going to bring this child back. And they swore the oath. They swore the oath. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers, they now brought Binyamin together, and they began to move towards Egypt, subhanallah. And in the process, the father told them, listen, when you enter, do not enter from one door. You must enter from separate doors, so that people do not see all of you at once, and you are not affected by the evil eye, Ayn, or what we know as Nazar. Now, this is what is mentioned in the Quran. Ya'qub alayhi salam, he had so many sons. And imagine if someone had to see so many burly, big, successful looking youngsters all walking together, all the children, 11 one time, the children of one father. Subhanallah, he was fearing that someone might attack them with the evil eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the ability to stay away from flashing what we have to others. Sometimes we have a vehicle, mashallah, we go out and we flash it to people, subhanallah, not realizing that that is not what we are supposed to be doing. Alhamdulillah, you have a good vehicle. Yes, it is permissible to have a brilliant vehicle, a nice looking vehicle which is very comfortable, maybe the latest, but that doesn't mean we need to go out and boast about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from pride, from arrogance, and from the feeling that we are better than others, or subhanallah, from feeling that we are higher than others in any way. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers were advised in this regard. And when they walked in again, Yusuf alayhi salam recognized all of them. He recognized his real brother as well. And he called him aside and he said, listen, I am Yusuf, I am your brother. So there is a plan that we have hatched, and you must just play with that plan. So amazing. This brother was so happy, and he decided, okay, I will play with that plan, whatever the plan was. What do we learn from this? Sometimes in order to catch a thief, we need to hatch a plan. And we need to hatch a plan. And sometimes in order to bring out the reality, we need to hatch a plan. And we need to think about it before. And we need to put a plan in place so that when it works, what is the reality will actually come out of it. Subhanallah. Nowadays, we only plan when we want to do something wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. Why don't we decide, let us plan when we want to do something right? When we want to do something correct, we need to plan, and we need to understand that we need to use this brain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in order to achieve certain things. So what Yusuf alayhi salam decided is the cup that the king used to use, it would be thrown into the sack of his real brother Binyamin. And then a caller called out. He said, look, oh caravan, you people are thieves because this cup has gone missing. And they immediately returned and retaliated and responded. They said, listen, we are not thieves. We didn't come to your land to steal. We actually came here for something and we are going back innocently. They said, look, we have to search. They said, all right, you can search. They began to search one after the other. And the plan was the last bag which was going to be searched was the bag of the brother whom the cup was placed in, that particular bag of his, Binyamin. So as they began to search, these brothers began to ask, look, what is the punishment of a person who really has stolen that? And they said, listen, the punishment of the person who has stolen it is that he must stay here and serve in the palace. This is the punishment. There is no other punishment. So now, what had happened is, when they came to the last sack and they opened it and they found the cup, the brothers immediately responded and they said, listen, if he has stolen, his brother was also a thief before him. Not realizing that Yusuf alayhi salam was there. He was the one whom they were speaking about, and they were speaking to him about it. But how did he react again? Did he retaliate and react and say, you know what, keep quiet you people, I am that Yusuf? Or did he tell his men to lock them up? No. He was calm and collected, and he knew that, look, this is a test from Allah. I am not going to respond in this way. It is not the right time to respond. What do we learn from this? Sometimes things will happen to us. Let me give you a typical example. We are driving. Someone might happen to scratch our vehicle, or someone might have to, cut up in front of us a little bit for some reason. That mustn't make us worse than them. And we start hooting and we overtake them and we want to slice their car a little bit and we go so close to them, etc., etc. We have achieved nothing in the process, subhanAllah. We have retaliated in the wrong way. Some of us might even take out a gun and begin to shoot in the air, or maybe we might even point at them and we might even threaten people. This is not the way things should happen. Let us learn from Yusuf alayhi salam. He was literally sworn by his brothers in his presence without them knowing that he is the person whom we are swearing. And he did not retaliate in any way. He was calm and collected. And subhanAllah, he knew that his plan is working. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided him. As Allah has mentioned that we gave him knowledge and we taught him how to interpret dreams. This is what Allah says. From a very young age he was taught that. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam reacted in a very positive manner, very calm manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to react in a very calm manner. Look, this was a problem between brothers. This was a problem between brothers. But there was a brother who was calm and collected, and he made sure that, look, he did not create two problems out of one. He did not create five problems out of one. We need to understand the same. Whenever there is a problem between brothers, between family members, don't solve it in such a manner, or don't think that, oh, I'm going to solve it in this manner, when by solving it in that way we are going to create another 10 problems from one. This is something we need to understand, and this is something we need to learn from the life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What a beautiful story. How many lessons are we learning from this life of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? It is amazing. It is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oldest brother, we find that he felt guilty. He felt guilty. And the eldest brother actually said, look, I'm not going to return. Because we promised our father that we are going to bring this brother back. And now we did not bring this brother back. So you people go and tell the father that, look, he was a thief. So they went back. They told the father, look, your son was a thief. So the father says that, look, I know from Allah something that you don't know. This is a problem. This is a difficulty. And I want you people to go back and to look for Yusuf as well as his brother. And they told him, they said, look, as for Yusuf, you can forget about him. He is history. He is something that you can forget about, something of the past. But Yaqub alayhi salam, it is reported that he cried, and he was obviously patient. He bore a lot of sabr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember something, sabr is a very great act of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects and chooses people to go through this great ibadah known as sabr. Remember Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those who bear patience. Allah loves those who bear patience. Allah is close to those who bear patience. So, you will not be able to bear patience unless you have a problem. So if Allah puts a problem in your life, as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He puts more tests in his life. Why? Because when Allah puts a problem in your life, that means Allah has chosen you to engage in an act of worship. Had it not been for that problem, you would have not been able to engage in that act of worship known as sabr. And you would have not got that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we have a problem, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has chosen us to go through what is known as sabr. Look at Ya'qub alayhi salam. He was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go through these difficulties, yet he was a Nabi min Anbiya Illahi Azza wa Jal. He told his children, go back and seek these sons of mine, get them, go and ask about them, etc., etc. So the sons went again. He said, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah, for indeed only the kuffar lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who don't believe in Allah, they are the ones who lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability never to lose hope in Him. They went and they told this brother, Yusuf alayhi salam. They entered the palace and they said, listen, we have a problem, our family is in disarray, our father is ill, etc., etc. And when Yusuf alayhi salam heard that his father was sick, his father was partially blind, his father was suffering, then what did he say? Immediately he now understood that this is the time that I should release this information. And he said, listen, do you know what you have done to Yusuf and his brother whilst you were ignorant? The brothers were shocked. They were shocked. Why were they shocked? Because they knew that the story of Yusuf, no one knew it besides them and Yusuf himself. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are not mentioning it, then this person who's mentioning it has to be Yusuf alayhi salam himself. So they asked him a question.
أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ.
Is it possible that you are this Yusuf that we are speaking about here? Subhanallah. He responded,
أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا.
Indeed, I am Yusuf and this is my brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us a great favor. And Allah has favored us, subhanallah.
إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
Indeed, the one who is conscious of Allah, the one who fears Allah and bears patience, Allah will never ever throw away the reward of those who do good. Subhanallah. So if we do good, and if we are conscious of Allah, we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear patience regarding the calamities that Allah decided subhanahu wa ta'ala that would come our way, then Allah says that He will not throw away the reward of such people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us reward in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned how Yusuf alayhi salam released the news and information. Did he get angry? Did he shout? Did he scream? Did he swear? Let us think about ourselves. What do we do all day? In fact, with us, we don't even have a problem. We start swearing, shouting. In fact, we start saying things that are so unfit, they don't even sound nice from our mouths. And we begin to use that type of language. With whom? With our own family members. Amazing. Look at this champion, Yusuf alayhi salam. These were his family members. He was the best to them. Subhanallah. As the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of you are those who are the best to his family members or to their family members. Subhanallah. And we are supposed to learn from this, that look, this is how you will solve a problem. You will solve a problem by being patient, by waiting for the right time. Yusuf alayhi salam was separated from his own parents, from his father and his other brothers. For 2 decades, according to some narrations. For a few decades, according to other narrations. Subhanallah. That was a long period of time. Yes, that was a long period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided this. And Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he tell his brothers? The day that they were told that he was Yusuf, he told them,
لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين.
I am holding nothing against you today. I am forgiving you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, for indeed He is the most merciful. He is the most clement, most merciful, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to solve our problems in this manner. Let me tell you, a point that we actually learn from this is the day we have solved our family problems, we should embrace our brothers and sisters in such a manner that as though we have never had a problem before. These brothers immediately they spoke to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, Allah has raised you higher than us.
لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ.
Indeed, Allah has raised you above us, far above us. And indeed, we were wrong. We were wrong. What do we learn from this? When someone wrongs you, my dear brother, my dear sister, remember, if you know how to handle it, Allah will raise you far higher than them, and one day they will come to you begging and crying for mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise our status at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can bear patience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solve our problems for us. So, do not despair. Do not worry. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. Yusuf alayhi salam thereafter sent his shirt. And he sent his shirt to his father. And when the caravan left going towards home again, the father began to smell the scent of Yusuf alayhi salam and he said, look,
إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ.
I am getting the smell of Yusuf alayhi salam. And the people who were around him said, you know what, you are dreaming. You know what, it is something of the past. This is something of the past that is just coming to you. But indeed, definitely, when the caravan came and the story unfolded, subhanallah, they cast this shirt upon the face of this father and his eyesight returned, subhanallah, miraculously. His eyesight returned miraculously, subhanallah. And these brothers immediately, they asked for forgiveness. And they were also exposed. Remember something. When a person engages in sin, and when they don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah may expose them in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to engage in tawbah constantly. We are all insan. We all engage in different types of sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us at all times. And may He grant us the ability to turn to Him at all times. And then let me tell you what happened. They all left and they went to the palace where Yusuf alayhi salam was, and they were all seen to be bowing down to Yusuf alayhi salam, and immediately he said,
هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا.
That indeed this is the meaning of the dream that I had seen in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored me and He has granted me so much. Subhanallah. Now what was that dream? Let us dwell on it for a few moments. The dream was Yusuf alayhi salam saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon bowing down to him. Amazing. The sun was depicting the father. The moon was depicting the mother. And the 11 stars were depicting the children. What do we learn from this? Amazing. It is a dream of a prophet which came true. And dreams of prophets are true. And they are not wrong in any way. They fit exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. Let us take a look at our homes. We have the father in the home. We have the mother in the home. We have the children in the home. The father in this particular dream was the sun. If we take a look at the sun outside, the sun has so many qualities. Those qualities are necessary in a father of the home in order for him to be successful. If he does not have those qualities, he will not be able to be a successful father of the home. Let us take a look at some of those qualities. When the sun is out, we feel secure, don't we? We will go out. We will go out, we will work, we will earn, mashallah, we will work all day. We will feel secure. When the sun is out, the sun is bright. Try and look at the sun. You will not be able to look at the sun directly. You will need something, or you will have to look down, but you will get the benefit of that sun throughout the day. The plants will photosynthesize whilst the sun is there. And then, let us take a look at the stars. The stars are there during daylight hours, but they cannot be seen. Why? When the father walks in the home, it is necessary that his significance overtakes the significance of the children. If the children are more significant than the father, then they will be ruling the home and there will be chaos. Subhanallah. Do we ever see the stars during daylight hours? No, we don't. Similarly, when it comes to the moon, the moon is very beautiful. The moon, we can actually look at it. The moon does not have a light of its own. It derives its light from the sun. So the stronger the sun shines, the greater the moon will also shine. And the greater the moon also illuminates. Subhanallah. It actually has a light. It has a white light. Subhanallah. We look at the sun and we cannot see it properly, meaning we will damage our eyes if we look at the sun. But when we look at the moon, it is the other way. We can actually get solace and comfort just by looking at the moon. This shows us the close relationship, subhanallah, between the children and the mother. The stars actually twinkle at night. We see the stars twinkling at night. And what happens here? We should see that the relationship between the mother and the children is such that, subhanallah, they are very close to the mother. If this is not the case, we will find chaos in the home as well. Because we need a good relationship with our parents at all times. And let me take it a step further. When the father wants to play the role of the mother and the mother wants to play the role of the father, do you know what happens? The same thing happens. That happens when the sun comes in the place of the moon and the moon comes in the place of the sun. We have an eclipse whereby the significance of both of them disappear, subhanallah, and the stars are nowhere to be seen. The same way the significance of both the mother and the father will disappear, and the children will suffer the most. So let us understand, we should protect ourselves from the social eclipse. Do you know that when we see an ordinary eclipse outside, It is actually a sign of qiyamah according to some of the narrations. We are supposed to be engaged in dua, in istighfar, in dhikr, in salah, until it returns to normal. The same thing should happen in our homes. When there is a disaster between mom and dad, we should engage in salah, in dua, in ibadah, until the situation returns back to normal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Similarly, when women begin to play the role of men, and men begin to play the role of women, it is also a sign of qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. Now, let us understand, these are lessons derived from this story. There are very few lessons that we have actually derived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of Surah Yusuf says,
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Indeed, in their stories, meaning in the stories of the Prophets, Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, there are lessons for those who have intellect, for those who would like to ponder. So, we need to understand every story of every Nabi. We have lessons that we need to learn from. And we have lessons that we should actually derive from these. They are not just stories.
مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى.
They are not just stories that are created, stories that are fabricated. No, these are genuine issues and matters and historical occasions that have occurred in the past, and we need to learn from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to look at the Quran in the strength, and to look at the stories of those anbiya who have gone before us, and to apply them into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to apply all this and to actually better our lives by reading the stories of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solve our problems for us, whether they are family problems, whether they are other difficulties that we are facing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with our children, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring together all those who have been separated by this dunya in the same way that He has brought together Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam with his parents. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.